episode 24 of the Photographer Mindset Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Seth Macy, and if this is your first time listening, this is not a photography podcast about technical jargon, about how to shoot, about what kind of gear people are using. This is about adapting and implementing the creative thinking strategies of inspirational and talented photographers that are killing it in the social media and online community so that we can elevate our own photography game and reach our own defined levels of success. So today I'm joined by a really good friend of mine, actually, another Canadian quite close to home, could hit his house with a rock, Mike Mala. Mike, thanks for coming on the show, man. I know you took a little hiatus from Instagram for a while, and that's a good thing. We'll get into that in this episode. But as a listener of the show, you know what you got to do. You got to let everybody know your backstory and tell us about your grandpa's cameras and how that was kind of a influence, I guess, into your world of photography.
So my name is Mike Mala, and I've been shooting for over a decade. Well over a decade, but maybe professionally like in the last 5 years. My grandfather got me really into it. Obviously, he was a big photographer his whole life, dedicated 50 years of his life to this profession, created clubs and, you know, and national ones now, and in National Geographic. And after he passed away, hand me down pretty much everything, all his knowledge, all his cameras. And I had
you got a wicked collection.
Back into it, but like now that I am, I'm so glad that I did it, because it's gave me more purpose in life just beyond being a dad. And that is, I couldn't ask for anything better, like as a hobby. I think photography is one of the best ways to capture life, man, because like videos are cool and all, but like you got to sit there and kind of like sift through the bullshit sometimes to get to the good part. Whereas a photo, if you capture it at the right time, it's there that moment, and that's fucking there to stay forever. It's like the old school internet in a way, but I love photography. Something I'll take to the grave with me. I want to be buried with my camera.
Well, how many? Because your collection, especially the ones that your grandpa passed down to you, are just insane.
I think I'll take the ones that my wife, I don't want my wife selling. I'm going to leave you enough money to see me with the cameras.
That's
taking
so
that to the grave with me. I don't know. I really like the Mamiya, the medium format that I have there. That was a big gift from him. And then I'll probably take his Nikon with me as well. And then whatever I have at the time, I guess. You know?
Fair enough, man. So photography for you, I mean, you called it a hobby there. Where does someone like yourself, talented person like yourself, want to take this? Does everyone need to take it as far as they possibly can?
I don't think so. I don't think you should take it anywhere, as long as just take it wherever you're comfortable with, you know. And I do it as a professional side hobby, whereas I'll take money to do professional shoots, but I'll also spend more time on it myself as a getaway thing. So I'm very picky with who I work with now. I definitely want to put myself in like the higher echelon of photographers, where I'm not going to be taking on every single client that contacts me. That's it's nice to have that built up in case you do need money or if you want to do that. But at the same time, I don't want to be doing family portraits every single weekend. I don't want to be doing weddings all the time either. Like I want to have that in my profile that say that I can do that, those things, but I don't want to be doing them all the time. For me, photography is an escape. So I want to work with the clients that I like working with. So if I really love working with you, I'll work with you continuously. And it has nothing to do with you personally. It's just about how we go together, basically how our ideas bounce off each other. And I want to create something more than just a photo, you know? So when I take on clients, or if like a model contacts me and she's like, oh, I want to do a nude shoot or something like that, I'm like instant hard no. Like you have 100 different photographers that can take nude shoots of you, or artistic nudes, even boudoir. Like I can name them off for you right now and then send them off to you. You can call them, and that's what they specialize in, you know? So I wouldn't want to take that away from them. If you want to create art with me, like I've been really, really like enamored by this guy, Harris Newcomb on Instagram. I think it's
my favorite photographer.
He's fucking phenomenal.
It's literally phenomenal. My favorite photographer.
His photography, his portraits, his artwork, like everything about it is spectacular. From the toning, like I can't even really grasp an idea hard enough to execute it the way he does it, because it takes a certain mind to go to that level. The way he created
an artist.
It takes an artist. I like to consider myself an artist. I don't think I'm a true artist. I don't struggle enough in life. I think maybe I didn't have enough pain in my life. I think art is pain.
You need to smoke more cigarettes and be more sad.
Be more sad. It's hard to be sad when you don't smoke cigarettes and all you smoke is weed. The weed makes you happy.
No, but Harris Newcomb, I think there's different levels of artistry. I mean, if you're just taking a photo on your camera on automatic settings and, you know, you're doing a little bit of color correction, you're an artist. It's a spectrum. For me, guys like Harris Newcomb are just so into, they're like the Heath Ledger of act, you know, Heath Ledger of photography. They're just so into it, and their mind works differently. And there's not a lot of people like that in any, realm of the world. And that's why those kinds of people get so much attention. And here's a guy who posts once a month, maybe on Instagram, and is just like critically acclaimed. Because I know that's a stressor for a lot of people. Like, I got to post 3 times this week so that the Instagram algorithm gods praise me with likes, which when you spell it out like that is fucking ridiculous.
I hate that.
So that, like, that brings up a good point that I've written down. How do we develop indifference or total apathy towards Instagram, or should we? You know what I mean? I've been having this thought a lot about why am I posting here? Like, why? For what reason? And we talked a bit about it.
The validity definitely aspect is there. You definitely want to feel validated that what you just designed, what you made is good. Or in the eye, like, you might think you just poured out your heart into this thing and it's fucking awesome to you. But then, and that you put it out there and it doesn't do good. I hate that. Honestly, Instagram, it shouldn't validate how good it is, although our minds are kind of wired to it, because I feel like we've just kind of been indoctrinated to like this and feel this way. I've had Instagram since like 2012, so what, like 8 Same. Years now, and I've gone through it up and down. Like, I mean, those were the golden years back then posting, but even now,
when things came in chronological order.
Everything actually made sense.
Not
like, oh, here's a post from 3 days ago you might like. I saw this. I skipped by it on purpose. I didn't like it. Fuck you. Don't show me this. But turning on the apathy, learn to do quality always by you and don't have a measured standard by anybody else. So now it is like, I'll shoot stuff, but I won't I'll sit on the photos because I need my brain to stew a little bit. And like, I'll look at the photo like 3 times a day sometimes, and I won't even touch it. Yeah. Like lately. So I have these crazy sunrise shots from Muskoka. Like we were saying, like you need to set up a camera 24/7 there. I got probably the shot of the year from myself. Some other people might not think so, but it is a fucking incredible shot. So it's like, you got the two peninsulas kind of like meeting. And then in the middle and the far back, you got the island, and there's a boathouse with the light on, shining light onto the fog. And there's a plane boat, like a boat plane or whatever. And then like
seaplane.
A nice mansion, you know, mint. So I haven't edited that photo, and I've been sitting on it for 2 weeks now. I've probably touched it a few times, but it's not like where I'm happy with it. I think the quality aspect has finally hit me where I'm like, I'm being a perfectionist about it. I'm not trying to overcook the photo, but at the same time I'm trying to give myself different eyes. So like every now and then I'll look at it and I'll be like, maybe I should go warmer. Tomorrow I'll look at it and I'll be like, you know what, I liked it colder. And then I'll figure out a way to make it a little bit colder but warmer at the same time by using a radio filter or something and whatever, and then I'll let it sit again and I'll go to another photo and just kind of move on and
bounce
not
around.
Try to stew on it. And then that will, like, the day to post will happen and I'll be like, oh yeah, I didn't finish that photo. I'm not going to post it because it's not ready yet, you know? And I'm not I'm not pressured by it anymore. I've finally escaped that. Like
did you used to be?
I used to be a little bit. Yeah. I used to be to the point where I'm like, oh, I should definitely post it. I haven't posted in like 2 days or I haven't posted in a week. And then I took a break for like a month. Didn't post anything. I fucking wiped that whole feed clean. You remember that? when I just started fresh and I just said, screw it. That was the best thing I could have done for myself mentally, away from Instagram. Absolutely. Because after that, I taught myself.
What did you experience when you stepped away?
That I didn't need that validation. I didn't need, I was getting that motivation to go shoot, but, and I was still happy with my shots, even though I wasn't showing them to anybody. And I don't know, it was because I just told myself that I didn't need the validation anymore. And that Instagram was a piece of shit at the time to me, because it felt like it was a broken app. It just, like, some days it would work amazing. Like, I'd get crazy likes, and I'd do the same thing the next day, and it was a complete flop. Even though both photos were bangers, it didn't. That's when I realized, I'm like, this app is stupid, and it's ruining my mentality. So I started posting on different mediums in that time. I went to 500px for a little bit.
I'm posting there too.
And I went to Reddit. And when I went to Reddit, that's when I really learned that the world is bigger beyond Instagram and Facebook. Because on Reddit,
how's your Reddit experience been?
it's been good and bad.
Okay.
If I'm posting pictures, actually, just on like Earth Porn or like just I took a picture, those are like just some subreddits I post on. They've been great, you know. Like, some photos do amazing, some photos do shit, and I don't care, because like, no matter what, you always get a positive comment. And at the same time, it's like Instagram, but it's bigger. And to have one photo that flopped on Instagram do amazing on Reddit just goes to show you that your photo wasn't shit to begin with. And that's what I was trying to get at, that my splash photo that I took did okay. I don't know, maybe like 150, 200 likes or something. And then on Reddit, I had like 4,000 likes on it. So
here's the thing though.
Yeah.
Talking about validation is, as you know, we are the filter before publishing, right? Like, you know what I mean? You make that decision of, am I going to put this out there to the world with my name attached to it? And I think all of us as photographers, you know, we're already self-validated because we think that it is good enough to press publish. I mean, I personally would never post something that I thought was terrible. Like, why would I do that? So, I mean, if you think about it that way, you know, you're already, it's already great for if you're in a contest versus yourself. I think that's the only contest you should really be entered in.
I agree with you there very much so.
Yeah. And I mean, don't just engage with people because some YouTube guru said you need to engage to grow. Like, engage with people who, you know, you can learn with, or we were talking before we pressed record about, you can grow with, like, collaborate with, like, ditching the idea of competition and encouraging the idea of collaboration, I think would make for a much healthier social media space online, and would do so much wonders for people's psyche, right?
Absolutely. Especially now, like, you're cooped up at home. Like, the last thing you need is to be invalidated on the internet while you're sitting at home and there's nothing else better to do.
Right. Refreshing your phone, trying to see if more people liked it. If you really break it down, it's quite quite absurd. And like, I get caught in this cycle sometimes too. And it takes a conscious like snap of the finger to go, what am I doing right now? Do you know what I mean? And I think what you said about when you got rid of Instagram for a while, I think you just, I've done a little bit of research into dopamine fasting.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever heard of that.
I have.
It's just, I don't know if you've, have you ever done it?
That was my dopamine fast.
Yeah. Okay. So let me explain what the dopamine fast is for anyone who doesn't know. It's basically you're getting rid of everything fun and external, to a certain point, and trying to get your dopamine from natural things.
Getting rid of synthetic dopamine.
Yeah. So like, the internet,
movies,
alcohol, drugs.
Yeah.
Like, you can take it even as far as for a day, not seeing friends, not texting, no internet, no food, and like literally exercise, water, and meditating, or just like chilling. And the whole idea is that it recalibrates your brain, right? To get dopamine from other things. Like you need to start working hard or like working towards your goals because your brain's craving that dopamine. Every time you, you know, refresh on your likes page, you get that hit and then your brain doesn't need to work as hard to get it. So like, I think that's exactly what you did, right?
I reset twice last year. So the first time when I actually just got off Instagram, and then my second one was in April when I got the bike and I did the exercising more or less. Right. Like I just kind of, I put down Instagram. I wasn't posting as much. I still had content to post. And once a week I would just kind of post on there just to kind of let my viewers know that I'm like, hey, I'm still here.
Alive and okay.
Alive and okay. I didn't catch COVID or anything like that.
Oh, Christ.
I'm still posting. I'm just doing other things right now. Just kind of keep my mind, you know, at pace. And it was, it's fantastic to reset that dopamine because when you come back and you actually do hit it and it's just like, it's like twice as hard, but then you have to get off of it again because you're going to get hooked again. So take vacations. Don't post every day. Yeah. Don't be a slave to that because that's going to ruin everything. I think the schedule that you and I are on right now, where we post kind of like 2-3 times a week,
2-3 a week is my go-to.
That's perfect.
I try to hit Monday and Wednesday. If I miss Friday, big deal. I'm into the weekend going out to shoot anyways and be in nature and be with family and whatever.
Yeah. I save the weekends for family. I'll go on it just to kind of like, you know, see what's going on, but to post, no, just get off, spend time.
I mean,
like you said, go in nature, like last couple weekends, that's all we've been doing. Right. So
go get inspiration. I mean, like I've been trying to get more into digital minimalism. Mm. So I literally went through who I was following and I just, this isn't not meant to be egotistical or whatever. I just dropped so many people from my following. Cause like, and this was my criteria. My criteria was if I saw you on the street, would I say hello to you? If the answer was no, unfollow. Does your work inspire me or does it make me feel, I don't know. I don't typically anymore feel bad about other people's successes. I used to a long time ago, but I'm more into the game now of being happy for people when they have something sweet going on. But yeah, does this inspire me? And if I didn't even recognize the username, I don't care if they had 50,000 followers and they're following me. Like I could give two shits. So that was really my criteria. And it feels great like going through my home feed now and just like keeping up with people who I have relationships with and who are inspiring to me, who make me want to be better. Like I don't need to follow Timmy from seventh grade who like, you know, like why the fuck would I do that? What a waste of my time. And just like, what a waste of just like clutter, you know?
Yeah.
It's like cleaning your room.
It is doing that spring cleaning.
Yeah. The COVID cleaning.
So we're segueing into that other one.
Segue, if you had a point on that, go for it. I wanted to segue into your biking.
Because for one, organizing your following list is perfect like that in two ways. And I'll tell you what I've experienced. For one, you do get that like digital minimalism. I base my criteria very similarly to yours. Would I say hello to you and does your work inspire me? And are you evolving also? So the evolution of the photographer, I think, is really important. Not to say that do you need to keep everything from before so I can look back and like see what you've changed. No, when I look at your feed today, I don't go through everybody's. You know what I mean? Like I want to see the top nine, what you have, and I want to see how well they mesh together. And if you've learned, like kind of like if it's all mishy mashy and like the tones and like the theme is just kind of like all over the place. That's one of those things that is just clutterful. I don't like that, you know, and it's, I want to see things that I want to see, and it's not anything personal against you or anybody in there who I may have followed in the past. I'm sorry, but it was just because I'm not inspired. You weren't evolving and I wouldn't probably say hello to you on the street. And that's probably,
and that doesn't mean you're a bad person.
That doesn't mean you're a bad person or you're a bad photographer. It's just,
or you're bad. Exactly. It just means just like you don't gel. Yeah.
I don't gel, and I need to have my feed the way I need it because then I have the proper experience on the app. Because if I'm seeing things I don't want to see, then I'm not enjoying the app. I'm going to post less. Right. I'm going to engage less because I have to sift through bullshit just to get to Seth Macy's portrait post.
Oh,
right.
What a plug. Yeah, I chuck one of those out every 2 months. But
so I did thin out my herd quite a bit. Right on. I went from like 600 to like 300 something.
Wow.
People I was following, and I'll be honest, and to my friends out there, I unfollowed a lot of personal accounts because I made a private account for my personal stuff.
Nice.
That's
a good idea.
You know, so that I have my private life and all my friends are on there. So I told all my friends, I'm like, listen, it's a thing because
I love that.
I wanted to keep it more business in that sense. Like I'm following just photographers and models who are doing like extra shit, basically like are really pushing the limits of like creativity, like not following beautiful models or anything like showing titties or anything like that. But I meant like people who are actually
portrait world's darts. Whack.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We won't get into that. I did that on a previous podcast. Everyone knows how I feel about that.
That's bullshit. Yeah. So I'll follow that and like businesses that I want to collaborate with maybe, or businesses that inspire me. I keep that into my following on that business page because I've also noticed that your Explorer page is cleaner. You don't have things of other people that they liked. You have the inspirational stuff showing up better and like the new work that you want to see. An explore page that is like actually letting you explore, and it helps you grow because it attracts people to your thing, being like, oh, you know, like this guy doesn't follow a lot of people, maybe because whatever, and they think of whatever that reason is and they'll follow you,
right?
You know, and they'll be like, oh shit, I gotta follow back, it must be because, you know, I'm awesome or something.
Let's talk about that ratio, because I have that written down, you know, the follower to following ratio and what that says about on both sides of the coin, whether you're following somebody with a certain ratio or whether you're being followed by, you know, both ways. I think it says a lot about you as, I think it says a lot about your social behavior and your social tendencies. For me, if you, Mike, followed me with, you're following 7,000, like this guy is just out here for, you're just trying to grab me. Like we're never going to talk. Yeah. You're never going to see my shit through 7,500 people. Never.
Yeah.
Never. But like, you know, if you're rocking what you are, what is it, like 300, which 300 is 10% something. Of your followers, roughly?
Yeah, that's basically what I was trying to go for, is the 10% mark.
Yeah,
you know, I try to keep it there, maybe a little bit higher sometimes if I find a lot of good accounts. Like I'll have a day where I'll feel like, oh, wow, okay, I've never seen these accounts before. I'm going to follow them and see, you know, like, how it go, if they're gonna follow me or not. If they don't, that's fine, but I'm still inspired by you and it looks like you're
right.
Artist. I want to keep that on my feet. Yeah, so I'm at 3,100 followers, 306 following, so we're roughly around that 10%.
I think the 10% is a good starting point, like as a rule of thumb, balancing a good network and digital minimalism.
Yeah, digital minimalism. I don't, like you said, you don't want to have to sit through that. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's helped me also.
Yeah.
Because now I've taken everything that was personal out of this account and I've moved it to another account where I still see all my friends. I still like their posts. It's just the artist page is now strictly for artists, you know, and
so you can choose which mindset to tap into when you open the app. Like, am I going to just like mess around with friends, or am I going to like get inspired right now?
So like if you have like 7,000 followers, you know what, like you're following 7,000 people, you could keep refreshing that homepage and you're constantly being shown something different. Like that's annoying, man. Like I like actually being able to hit that black bar and be like, you've seen everything. Be like, great,
you're all caught up.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Switch. Do I post now? No. Okay. Turn off the app. Done.
Then I'm off. Right.
Then I'm off. And then you go shoot.
Super cool.
Or get hop on the bike.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into the bike. Are you do both road biking and you do the indoor, right? We were talking about your lovely bike that's hanging behind you.
Up, yeah. It's starting up more now. We just, a couple of buddies of mine and we're signing up for it. We're just in the process of waiting for our classes because you actually have to take a velodrome entry level class that we're going to be doing. So we know to kind of act on the track.
Etiquette.
Like, I mean, you know, there's an etiquette to it for sure. And
so you elbow people in the head, right?
Yeah. It's going to be like fucking like 80s racing. I got a pole in my hand. I'm going to stick it through your spokes.
Love
that. No, but I kind of got into it more or less because I wanted to stay competitive too. So like maybe not so much like competitive with like an actual like competition level, because I don't think I can compete there yet. But like more or less with my friends, we just kind of like we're all in that same like body stage where we're all like got dad bods. Even though they're not dads, but they got dad bods. Guys. But you know, we love racing against each other, and that thrill of it, like, just it motivates me to try harder all the time. Even though I know I should be competing against myself, but I technically am, because I'm trying to be faster than I was before, but also trying to be faster than my friend who's got a better bike than me.
Love that.
So it's it also almost comes down to that, like, what do you shoot with, right? Like that argument can kind of be thrown out the window too, because like if you're good, you can shoot with anything, and it's kind of like the same thing with the bike. You can be fast on anything. It's just you.
Yeah. Like, well, let's rewind a bit and talk, because I want to talk about your biking, because you're super passionate about it, which is awesome. I said on so many episodes, like, I get so excited when people are into, like, are so over the top into what they're doing. Like, I just kind of absorb that like a Harry Potter Dementor. Yeah. I just suck up that good energy. And you know, those are the kind of people I want to hang out with. But I want to know how you got into the cycling, and because it was during the start of COVID, right? And what it's done, how having something that you're so interested in outside of photography has helped you either directly or indirectly become a more creative person, or just like have a healthier mindset. And I guess I think that a lot of people really believe that they're not interested in things like, I'm like outside of Netflix and my job, like I don't really have a lot of things I'm interested in. Maybe how people can expand that palette and find something, simply beyond just being given the advice, so try everything, you know, like that's not helpful to those kinds of people who are maybe on the hunt for something outside of what they're doing. I guess that's a very long question, but why don't you just start off with, you know, how you got into biking, what it's done for you, and how it's helped your photography.
Yeah. So during the winter time, I was pretty down about myself because there wasn't really like much to do. And I was kind of waiting for the weather to, and I started like exercising at home, just kind of going around for like walks. And like, just, I thought to myself like one day, I'm like, it'd be cool to ride in the snow. I haven't done that in a couple of years. And it was like almost five or six years since the last time I sat in a bike seat. So I thought to myself, I'm like, I'm going to go online one day and just see if there's any bikes for sale. And sure enough, there was a few that kind of caught my eye. And but at the same time, I was like thinking, I was like, it'd be cool if I get my buddies to ride with me, and then we can do a group thing because it's COVID, but we're still like socially distanced, so it's like acceptable. So I figured out a way to like kind of get a group of friends together without actually getting together. So one day, looking at bikes, my buddy calls me and he's like, oh dude, I just bought a new bike today. I'm like, dude, you totally read my mind as to what I wanted to do. He's like bragging about this bike that he bought, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, bro, I'm like, you bought the wrong bike. You bought a girl's bike. So we started laughing about it. So he ended up selling the bike, and then we convinced each other that we were going to ride fixed gear this year, which is just single speed. For anybody who's out there and doesn't understand what that means, basically your pedals never stop moving. So as long as the wheels just keep spinning, and you can't stop. You just got to look for ways to keep your momentum going. And it's kind of like creatively kind of works that way too. With photography, it kind of translates back, because you want to keep your wheels moving. You got to keep yourself on your toes. And with this kind of biking, it was like you have to really pay attention as to what you're doing, because A, you have no brakes. The only way to brake is by skidding. And it's thrilling, you know, just like when you first picked up your camera the first time. So I took that passion of biking, and I kind of started doing it with photography. So we started riding, would bring my camera with me, we'd stop and take some pics, And then it kind of got into more and more. And we actually built up like a group of 10 guys, ended up riding with us. And then we, next thing we knew, we kind of had a bit of a movement as to what we were doing with these bikes. And it kind of grew into something bigger. And now we're riding with another group of people. So we're growing like even bigger now. Like
that's
we're
cool.
Meshing two different types of people together with on bikes. And I took that passion. I've had a passion for riding for a really long time. I've always ridden. I took a couple years off. I had a couple bad accidents mountain biking, and it just kind of threw me off for a bit. But I figured road biking is a lot safer. I only have to deal with cars, no trees. And we started riding. And then the first day we went out riding as a big group, we all just it just clicked, and we're like, shit,
cool.
This is something that we're doing outside of the things that we already love doing. And we just kind of perpetuated that. And every day during COVID, we call each other up. I'm like, who's riding? Who's riding today? Who's riding? And then it turned into like, okay, so every Saturday morning, we all wake up at 9 in the morning. We meet at Springbank Park in London, and we do a 50K loop around the city. And we would do that every Saturday, sometimes twice a week, sometimes three times a week. To the point where we built up enough stamina, and I did with one other buddy 100 kilometers one day.
Damn.
So, and that was a nonstop ride. So basically we stopped, I rode from Ingersoll to Byron and back. That was 100 kilometers. And I took one break, and that was just to smoke a quick joint to relax my muscles, take a fucking Tylenol from my fucking back, and drink a shit ton of water.
You are the pinnacle of athleticism.
Michael Phelps, you know, has taught me anything. That he can take 26 bong rips and have 26 gold medals, you know? So
for the record, everyone listening, is legal in Canada.
It is legal in Canada. So yeah, medicinal or not medicinal.
This is not biking advice. This is a disclaimer. Yes.
This is just how I roll. So don't follow me, veteran here. And after we started riding more together, we realized that this is something that's going to stick with us. And I finally found that other thing that made me complete. So now I'm not only a family man, a dad, a photographer, but I'm also like considering myself like to be a very amateur, very, very amateur athlete where, you know, I can ride like long distances on a single speed and feel good about myself. And at the same time, like I did something on top of that because I took something that I love and I turned it into a charitable thing as well this year. So over the course of August, I rode for kids cancer. I didn't raise a shit ton of money, but I beat my goal. I told myself I'd raise $500, and I raised $567. So I was pretty happy with myself.
Nice, dude. You know, congrats.
Although I did have the baby that month, so it was really hard to get out, but I still managed to ride 275 kilometers in the month of August solo and raise that money. So that also basically taught myself that like, shit, this is something I'm going to do every year. I want to help these kids. I want to do bigger rides. So now that's why we're getting into indoor racing, so that maybe we could figure out a way to raise money through there and also work out throughout the winter, building my endurance up so that next year, next summer, I can do a much bigger ride. My goal is to ride from Niagara to Toronto and back.
Jeez.
And then maybe not this year, but I told myself that my 5 to 10 year goal, I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to be standing there yet, but it will be on a different bike for sure with gears this time, but I'm going to ride across Canada.
Nice, man. That's heavy.
That's my goal. I set for myself. I've been hitting all my goals for biking.
Isn't that a sick feeling?
I want
to bring this back to photography a bit and like how that's helped you, but like, I love hearing you say that when you just keep smashing your goals, the next one's so much easier.
It gets easier, but also at the same time, you're raising the difficulty, and it's like you're scared almost in a way where you're like, shit, like did I go too far this time? Did I set the bar too high? Mm-hmm. But then you hit it again, and you're like, okay, like this is definitely, you know, that momentum. Let's keep going, right?
Yeah.
So, I told myself, I'm like, I'm going to keep going every year. I'm going to try harder and harder and harder and harder ride longer, longer, and longer, and just fucking put the RPMs into the legs and just go. And so yeah, 5 years from now, like that's the beginning goal of riding across Canada. I've joined a couple of groups on Facebook that actually tell you how to do the routes, how to prepare for it, how to train yourself. That will be my lifelong goal, like something that I will remember for the rest of my life too, because I'm going to bring my camera with me. I'm going to make sure that I catch everything, you know, on GoPro or whatever. It's taking two passions and blending them together and going back
so
to
how have they blended?
So in the sense that, like, now I tell myself for photography, like, you set yourself a goal. I set myself that goal for 3,000 long time ago. I told myself 1,000 a year since the beginning of my Instagram. That was 2.5 years ago when I started this account. And I've hit 3,000 in less than 3 years. Awesome. Big deal.
Sweet.
But now I'm taking the bike and kind of meshing it together. So saying that, like, if I can hit these photography goals too. So now I told myself, okay, this year I want to have a clientele that is repetitive. Meaning, like, I'm going to have these real estate clients coming back to me over and over again for the video, for the photos, whatever they want. Create a new website. That was a new thing. I'm still working on it. I'm a little delayed on it because there was a problem with the graphic designer that I had hired to do my graphics for me. I did not like what came out with them. I used Fiverr to hire somebody. And it's hit or miss, whatever. I watched that whole Peter McKinnon video that he did, and it was like, okay, maybe I can find somebody on there. But the website, and to go outside of Instagram so that, you know, I could actually build a clientele and build myself that photography empire that I want, you know. And I'm not expecting to make fucking millions of dollars or rich. I just want to be able to be recognizable to the point where somebody's going to look at that picture and they're gonna be like, oh, that's a Mike Mala, you know. And That's my goal. So it's a bigger goal and it's a different goal, but because I have this physical activity behind it, I'm kind of telling myself that no matter what I do, told myself, like, at the beginning of the year, there's no way you're going to smash 100 kilometers on your bike, you fat ass. Like, there's no way. You sat all winter doing nothing.
That voice sucks.
Does, right? The inner voice that's telling you can't do something, but then you go and do it, right?
That's what I'm saying.
So I did that and I told myself, I was like, no, fuck that. I'll get up and I told myself I'll ride 100 kilometers before the end of the summer. And I did it 2 months before the summer ended.
So what's the difference? Because I think this will be of value to people listening, at least in your mind, what's the difference between people who listen to that voice and people who don't?
Listen as a motivator. Try it. You know what? Everybody's got that voice in their head, but you got to learn to use it as a weapon for you to drive yourself, not to drive yourself up, not to drive yourself down, because it's very easy to go down. It's much harder to go up, but you'll be happier if you go up and you suffer through it and you actually get it done. It hurts. It's never easy. The struggle to go up is never easy. Like, if climbing was easy, everybody would climb it, you know, like mountains and shit like that.
Yeah.
But there's only certain people in the world that can climb a mountain, you know, and at the top, they'll be like, all right, let's go down.
but then there's everybody at the bottom who goes, I can never do that.
I can never do that, but you could do that. All it takes is that dedication.
Yeah, and here's the thing. There's two kinds of people. There's the person who goes, that's amazing. I could never do that. I'm too this, I'm too that. I don't have enough of this, I don't have enough of that. I can never do that. And then there's the other person who goes, that person did it. Like, how are they so different? I could do that.
Yeah. And then,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Literally,
and that second one is the right one. If you can do it, I can do it. If I can do it, you could do it within reason, obviously. Like, you and I can't just go be an NBA players now, but
no,
you know, like, why couldn't somebody pick up a bike right now and ride 100 kilometers?
They absolutely could. You won't do it the first day. Guarantee you, you won't. You could, you'll probably die. Like, because you'll be so friggin' tired. Don't get me wrong, man. I trained for that ride for a couple months. And
absolutely.
Even at the end of it, I had a couple hills and they were really testing me mentally. Like, I almost got off the bike a few times and told myself, fuck, man. Like, my ass hurts. My fucking arms are shaking from holding myself up. But I said, nope. You know what's going to happen once you get to the top of the hill? You get to ride down and it's fun. And that's the best part about climbing those goals and smashing them, because you're at the top and you get to have fun now and you get to be like, ha, I did that, man. You know, and the same thing with photography. So like,
you forget the pain too.
You do forget the pain.
In anything though.
In anything, man. The struggle.
Think about the last time you were sick. Like, you don't remember how sick you were. You just remember like, I was sick.
Yeah, exactly. You knew you were sick. It sucked, right? You had a fever. Your throat probably hurt. And you're coughing. Yeah. And you probably went through 10 boxes of Kleenexes. But but you got over it, right? And at the end of it all, you were like, oh, man, I'll never take these nostrils for granted ever again.
Yeah, exactly, though. But I just wanted to say that, like, that I find that, too. Like, with running, when I'm past my halfway goal, my mentality goes to, sweet, I have less left than what I've already run.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And like, going back to the photography thing, like for goal smashing, you got to look at it the same way. You got to look at it. It's going to be painful. It's going to suck to grow. It's going to suck to like constantly kind of like have to market yourself. But in the end, it's going to pay off. Take the time, learn the skill, put it forward. And then put your work out. And eventually, you know what? Somebody will call you. And I honestly like think you have to fake it till you make it, kind of. Like, going back to that kind of mentality. Sure. Just fucking do it, man. Like, yeah, you're going to suck at first. But if you keep doing it, you're going to be awesome. And with photography, going back a year even, I never thought I'd get to my editing quality that I got to now. Back then, I already thought, I was like, shit, I'm pretty fucking good. But now I'm like looking at it, I was like, man, I'm almost on mind's eye level. Like, this edit is so soft, yet so sharp, yet so like crisp. Yeah. And I'm using all these techniques now, like for dodging and burning and using gradient light and soft light and just using all these tools in your arsenal to actually make your art better. And then,
I like that.
And then you're finally looking at the final product and you're like, shit, man, like I did that. And then like having that, like, I love the, you know what, I did this a few times and I took my photo and I just said, I was like, yo, check out this artist, man, like this guy's photos are sick. And it was just like an uploaded photo that I would have on my phone or whatever, and I'd show it to a random person, not like, it shouldn't say random, but like somebody that I knew but didn't know that was my photo, and they'd be like, oh dude, that's so sick, I gotta follow this guy or something, or like, yo, what's his Insta? And then you're like, ah, psych, man, it's actually my photo.
And then they're like, oh, but this is shit.
But if I had told them right from the start, they might have been like, kidding. Oh yeah, that's pretty good, man, like you did a really good job, because they knew you came from the bottom, right? Like, the mentality of showing somebody, be like, oh, this guy's a pro photographer, check out the photo he took. And then they're like, damn, like if you showed a picture of what Mind's Eye did, you know, like 10 years ago versus what he does now, you know, like it'd be night and day. So like showing like a photo like that, like that's kind of why I delete photos too, going like archiving, because I don't want people to see that I did suck, because everybody knows that I sucked out. Everybody sucks at one point. It's about showing the professionalism. And I want, when somebody looks at my grid, it, like you said, it's a resume, you know, I want it all to match. I want it all to look nice. I want it, you know, like, yeah, you could. If you want to see my growth, I'll post it in my stories or ask me personally and I'll show you what it looked like, you know?
Yeah. And I'll throw out memories in my stories. Like, you know how you got those like 3 years ago?
Exactly. You can do that. And then right?
And then I've had a lot of people, this is a good segue into what we said we were going to talk about. I'll have a lot of people when I chuck out a memory who are a new follower. They've followed me within a few weeks time of, I'll put out that story of a shot from 3 years ago, and they'll go, oh my God, I never saw this. This is really cool. And that's why you may disagree. We kind of disagreed a little bit on this before we started recording, about reposting shots. Like, I do it. I repost shots on the basis of, I hope that in that 2 year time frame, I've gained enough of an audience that hasn't seen previous work that still measures up to what I'm working with now and fits my grid theme, just so that people can see all of me and all of my work. And and there's a lot of shots from 3 years ago that, you know, I would still be happy with putting out now. I think that's also important to note, along since we were talking about progress, like as you progress as an artist, there's gonna be awful ones, but there's also gonna be a few that are wicked cool. Like my time to Banff was on a Rebel with a kit lens, and I have some shots I'm really proud of from there. You know what I mean? But now I would never in my life go back with just that. This is not saying you shouldn't. If you have a Canon and a Rebel and a kit lens, it's a great camera. You can do a lot with it. But that also forced me to become an excellent editor. Or I like to think I'm okay. But it forces you, like when you're dealing with subpar gear, like you need to make up for other areas. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what do you think about reposting shots that are old? Like what's your thought on it? And archiving and the whole thing?
So I archive all the time. I archive it because I know they'll pop up in stories anyways, and then I can do a repost that way. But the reason I archive is to repost the same shot, but because now I don't always think my edits – see, this is the problem of being a perfectionist. Like I always think my edit is never good enough. So even if I edited it today and I thought it was amazing, a year from now I'm going to be like, the fuck was I doing with that light?
Right. You know,
certain things like that. So I'll re-edit it. And that's another thing. Like, I like what you said because on that whole audience thing, you've grown your audience. So there's another reason to repost it. And just be like, if you're happy with your edit and you think it's up to par with your arsenal of shots currently, by all means, post it. Don't change a
100%.
You know, like, that's fine. It's just me that I never feel like my work is ever done. It's always incomplete.
You are a perfectionist. That's a gift and a curse, man.
It's a curse. It's always a fucking curse, man.
I'm so grateful that I don't deal with that. Like I shut it off when I know that it's where it's at. I'm like, I close the laptop. That's it.
That's the problem with me is that I keep all these shots. Like I never wipe up my catalogs really. Like at the end of the year. And I go back to things that, you know, 3 years ago when I was in New York, and I'll still edit I'll re-edit a shot that I've fucking posted 3 times. But because I learned a new way to make something glow better, like, oh, I can make this sign glow better now, I'm going to repost it.
That's and
I
fair did that enough, man.
I did that a few times, and it's worked out really well for me in the sense where, like, it's been not only validated by myself, where I feel really good about it, but also by people on the internet were saying, oh, I really love the shot. Can I buy the digital print and print it for myself? Or do you have, like, you know, a canvas that's already ready to send and stuff like that? That is the reason why I repost, is so that I could get better, that I could show that I can do better, and that no matter what, art is, it's just like, it's just art, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's
man.
Here. So like a good shot just never goes bad. It's your edit that may be out of style. And I think maybe that's another reason why I go back, because I change style so often. I'm always in the
right, and you gain a new tool.
Man, you know what? Half of this is to blame because of Adobe. So they keep releasing new brushes and stuff, and I keep downloading stuff from them, and I'm just like, oh shit, well let's try this out, you know? And
yeah, they know you.
And it just works out that way now. And it's like, okay, now I got to re-edit this whole photo, start from scratch. And now we got a new masterpiece. So, I mean,
well, here's the thing too about reposting is that Instagram is so short-sighted. You post a photo and it's pulsating for 24 hours and then it just flatlines. It's dead. Essentially, it's over. Yeah. Like it's done. All that work, all that time, all that editing, you have 24 hours to like let it run its course. And that's why I think grid mode as your resume is so important. It's so important your grid looks good. Like I have people message me being, oh, your grid is like, it looks so nice. It's so flawless. How do you do that? And I'm just like, dude, I plan for hours in advance, like what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
Like I have an app called, I think it's just called The Grid. For anyone listening, it's called The Grid. I tried Unum and I hated it. But I found one called The Grid, and you can like drag and drop and, see what your feed is going to look like ahead of time. And I use that all the time, man, like all the time. And it's your resume, because after that 24 hours ends and you're left, like you mentioned, that top nine, if I'm landing on your page and deciding to follow you, like that decision for me, sometimes I don't even go into photos. Like I just look at the bio, the profile picture, the grid, is it clean? Like, and then I'll go into it. And that's not to be pretentious. It's just like, we're constantly flooded with information. And like now in the new age of digital minimalism, I'm going to be very selective with who I choose to follow based on inspiration and things like that. So, I mean, you have a probably 2 seconds to impress somebody.
Probably even less than that.
Less.
Because it takes literally half a second to swipe past. Right? Yeah, I agree with that resume. Like the bio is more important than ever now. I think like if you have nothing in your bio, you just have a title, photographer. It's like, cool. What are you about?
It's like, you know, what else you got?
What else you got? Right? Like, and that's another thing I struggle with is because I don't know how to write about myself. And I, every time I do write something about myself, I feel like I'm being, you know, kind of pretentious or like, you know, like
writing
selfish,
in first person or writing in third person.
Yeah. Like I don't like that. So my wife's a teacher. So I usually tell her kind of like, this is kind of what I wanted to sound like. I'm like, can you put this into terms where I don't sound like a dick?
It's a fine line between pumping yourself and coming across as, professional and confident rather than
arrogant, boastful. You know, or whatever. Yeah, boastful. So like I kind of really played into the fact that everything on my page is old. Mm-hmm. No matter what, it's always a repost. So everything here is a throwback. It's kind of like the title for my page and being right. Because everything here is a throwback. I didn't shoot it today and it edited today. Yeah. I shot this like a month ago and I edited maybe like a week ago, you know, and it's kind of like a visual time traveling in a way where, you know, that's where I got that idea from. And I kind of really like what I did there. That was on part with my wife there. She kind of had that whole idea with the whole time thing. And I was like,
utilizing your resources. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. You got to utilize your resources. And then, you know, I added the whole ride for life thing. Cause like now biking's really part of me. So I figured, fuck it, throw that in there and then links to stuff. You know, you got to have that external, right? Since you want to go beyond Instagram now, like if you're just using Instagram as a tool only, as your only tool, you're doing this wrong, especially if you're trying to grow.
Oh, for sure.
I'm not saying go on TikTok, you know, or whatever, but at least create a website where people can
go on it because you want to, or don't go on it because you have to.
Exactly. You know, like it's there because it's like, okay, now I got my YouTube on there, you know, like you can you're going to be able to go to my page, and on my page, you'll have a store where you can instantly buy my stuff. If you want to, if you want my digital or whatever. Printed on anything. That's kind of what I'm going on right now. Printed on anything. I don't think that Instagram is the only tool that we should be using. As a photographer, as an artist, utilize everything you have. Everything.
I'm trying to get more into that thought, that idea, personally.
Remember when you were over at my place and we were talking about Pinterest?
Yes, I did. I was just dipping my toes into Pinterest. We were talking about
how has that worked out for you, just out of curiosity?
So I have been creating in the background, I've been creating articles, like blog posts that are relevant to like things I know about, so like landscape photography, just a little bit of travel stuff, just from my small amount of experience doing that, how to make it affordable and easy. And I've been just making cool graphics to go in Pinterest in the hopes of someday I'll write little articles and I'll be able to just fire off like half a year's worth of content slowly.
So you're just kind of like building it all up.
I'm harvesting. Yeah. I'm building the foundation. I mean, you know what I mean? Stuff like that takes time. I mean, it's not my, obviously it's important to prioritize, as we all know. You know, I level things. I write down everything now. I write down everything I want to do for the week. And I label them level 1, 2, or 3 in my mind.
Okay.
Obviously level 1 is more important than level 2 and level 3. So, you know, level 1 gets done before all the level 2 stuff.
Of course.
Because I was horrible at prioritizing. I would feel good about, I did the laundry, I'll tick that off, where it's like, bro, you have 200 photos to go through for a client. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you know? You didn't scratch off that little thing, you know, you might not get to it tomorrow. You might not get to that level 2 thing tomorrow because of that level 1 thing. So progress is good.
Yeah.
The little battles. But at the same time, I see what you're saying, where it's like you got like the prioritization definitely is a big key factor to becoming a good, successful photographer, because you got to know where to level every client and how much time you can give them. You want to give yourself enough creative time, but you also want to pump out the product
right
back up to the person. They're going to be happier when you give them a timeline of, 4 weeks, and then all of a sudden that turned into two.
Over, what is it? Under promise, over deliver all the time.
Yeah.
And the other thing is just like, you know, I've said it before on this podcast, for me, and it should be for everybody listening, is the most valuable thing you have to offer is your time.
Yeah.
Your time is worth nothing. Like in
it's worth nothing and everything.
Exactly. There's no dollar sign on your time in a metaphorical sense. So, I mean, like I'm finding myself having less and less time, just the busier I get with projects and like things I want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's been a conscious effort to dedicate time to myself, to family, to, you know, doing website infrastructure and shit like that. So it's important to prioritize, but I think this is a good time to wrap up. What do you think? Maybe summarize what we've gone through. What did we go through? We talked about the importance of grid mode as your digital resume on Instagram. When you post a photo, you've already validated it. So don't beat yourself up if it tanks, because it tanks for all of us, you, me, Peter McKinnon, it always tanks.
Yeah. You could have a million followers and you're used to like 40,000 likes, and all of a sudden you get a 4,000 like photo or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Someone like you and me will look at that and be like, man, he's still got like 4,000 likes. But he's like, that person's like, shit, man, I just got like 0.3, you know,
percent. It's the same feeling.
It's the same feeling, you know, like so it doesn't matter. Don't feel like the whole numbers thing is bullshit.
We talked about that with ratios.
Better. Yeah. Strive to do better, but don't let it hold you back ever.
For sure.
And just kind of keep going, because some people might get stuck. I've gotten stuck. I mean, shit. Fuck. And prioritize your time better.
Prioritize your time better. And we forgot the ratio, digital minimalism.
Try it out, because it will help you out in the sense like you won't gonna see everything that you need. You'll see everything you need to see. Anything that inspires you, evolves you, or you know, just makes you happy or whatever.
Right. Well, Mike, thanks for coming on, man.
It was great.
For everybody listening, you can check out Mike's work. It's always the photographers in the title of the episode. But at Mike MXLX, at Mike MXLX, Mike is spelled M-I-K-E. Mike, thanks so much, man.
Thanks a lot, Seth. And hopefully we'll get together soon and shoot something. I'd love to come to see your little home out there. And,
yes, post-COVID, hopefully.
Post-COVID, yes, finally.
Thanks, everyone, again, for listening to another episode of the Photographer Mindset Podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you could drop a rating and or a review, that would be awesome. If you feel you're gaining value and knowledge from this, it's really the least you could do. And it'll help other people discover the show. And we're all about spreading the love here. So until next time, go get shooting, go get editing, and stay focused. See you then.